This is Laura with the Average Joe Talk Show, and I'm here with Shannon Cosgrove.
Hi, everyone.
And we're here to entertain you with reality, improv, who knows what else.
Yeah. They're kind of one and the same, aren't they? We're just making it up as we go along.
So I'm going to start out with real questions, but at any point we could go in whatever direction. So
okay.
Okay, so when did you first get interested in improv?
I first got interested in improv. I was in college. It was 19... It must have been around 89. And I was in the theater program, and a group of... this is going to come as a shock. Men. They were also in college with me. They had put together an improv group. I cannot remember the name of it, but I was in class one day pretending to be a bale of hay or whatever the theater equivalent of that is. We were all doing, you have to stay in a place for 20 minutes. And I looked off the stage, and the improv guys were rehearsing in a room where you could see what they were doing, but you couldn't hear what they were doing. And it looked like a group of baboons had gone nuts in the room, and I thought, I think I chose the wrong thing. So, of course, I tried to become a part of it, and my lack of penis made that absolutely not something that was viable. But I remember thinking, that is the kind of stuff I want to do, because I went to a couple of...
Okay, so... Were there no other women in that improv group?
At that point, no, and I honestly don't remember whether or not they were even allowed.
Oh, wow.
I'm old. and I remembered thinking that as soon as I got an opportunity, I was going to take some classes and see how I could develop it. And it wasn't until... I was in my early 30s. I had two kids, and we lived in Seattle, and Jet City Improv was giving classes, and so I ended up going and taking a bunch of classes with Jet City, and became completely uninterested in things like theater sports and games when I saw or experience firsthand what long-form improv is and developing characters, and quickly became addicted to the classes where we could sit and ask people questions about themselves for like hours.
Yeah.
And things would come out that were just amazing. Sometimes they were funny and sometimes they were extremely sad, but they were always like, you get that tingle when you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And you don't care. You just want to see what the next thing is going to be. That's when I got hooked.
That's so cool. Oh. So, how is it? Do you think improv is really similar to writing or no?
For me, it is, because I think I'm always looking for the pulse and the beat in my writing, and I think that comedy and improv, whether you're writing comedy or not, I think that comedy and improv are both the same, in that you have to either develop or innately have the timing of the moment.
Yeah.
And I think good improv is like good storytelling, in that you figure out how to reveal what you need to reveal at the time when it's going to have the most impact.
Yeah.
And I think that's the beauty of watching other people do improv, engage in it in whatever form or way they're doing it. It's because you recognize when you have people in a room that they are all working toward the same goal, like the same mothership mind brain is, we have no idea where we're going. I mean, it's like a microcosm for life, isn't it? We have no idea how we're going to get there. Three of us are fuck-ups. I can say that.
Yes.
And the other one seems to be driving the ship, but by the time we get there, everything will be different and everyone will feel vaguely ashamed. This is a great lesson of life. Because okay. We're all just making it up.
So there's a game that I just learned. It's called Ted the Loquacious Gardener.
Ooh. I'm going to write that down. Okay.
And basically, you... other people give you three things. They give you your name.
Mm-hmm.
They give you an emotional state or some kind of an adjective, like, that you're in.
Okay.
And then they give you a job.
Okay.
So Ted the Loquacious Gardener. And then you become them. You can do a monologue or whatever. So I propose you give me three things and I'll give you three things.
One more, please.
One more? Okay. Yeah. We'll see.
Real time. Okay.
We'll see where it takes us.
Okay. I'm going to start with you.
Okay.
You are... You are... Jonathan, the steadfast beachcomber. I cannot wait.
You are Helen, the tempestuous lounge singer.
Tempestuous lounge singer named Helen. Okay. All right. All right.
Oh, man. Oh my God, I'm in. God, what am I? I'm, if I could just get one more piece of this beach glass.
One more piece.
Oh my God, lady, look at this. It's gorgeous. Have you ever seen anything like this?
I have, years ago in San Francisco.
Hmm.
It was attached to a bracelet that was attached to me.
Wow.
I had to sell it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The club I was at, the Cat Kit, the owner was dyslexic, the Cat Kit Club, and I ended up closing it down because he was unable to pay us, and so I realized I was in a bad situation and had to make my way up the coast because apparently lounge singers thrive in Tacoma, Washington. So,
wow,
yes.
Wow, well, you're some... classy lady, you've been around. I can see that.
Oh, I've definitely been around. What's that in your pocket?
Oh, it's nothing. It's just, you know, I collect, you know, money sometimes when I'm on the street. I'm not really homeless. I'm not. I just, people, like, I do things on the street and people, I guess they feel sorry for me. I don't know. I don't really ask for money. But anyway, back to you.
Well, I do things on the street, too, and I do ask for money.
Oh.
And that is quite a bulging pocket you have there, so...
Well, you know, I can see we're getting really comfortable with each other already.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with what I'm looking at, and I'm just wondering what service I might perform to lay hands on some of that.
All right, lady, I'll tell you what.
Okay.
I tell you what, there. Yes. Was, I recently had a breakup, okay? This girl, she really liked me. I swear she really liked me. But then some other guy came along who could pick out cooler looking beach glass than me. And she gave up. She gave up on this thing. We had this thing.
Gotcha.
I was ready to take one of my best pieces and put it on a ring. And she walked away from it. So, you know, thank you.
Sure. Thank you very much.
No problem.
If you can sing a song that will just get my blues to just hike, take a long hike, I will give you whatever you want. I'll give you everything in this pocket. You can knock me off my feet.
Okay. It'll be a short song. My voice is, I'm resting it for tonight's cabaret, but I think I can come up with something. Oh, what did he do? He found you the green and blue. I was only a clown who found the brown glass.
Yeah! Oh my God!
I could go on, but I'm gonna need to see some money first.
Here's a 20!
Excellent! friendships were begun on much less.
And scene.
Oh my God. You're so awesome.
That was fun.